Good morning, everyone. This morning we're in Leviticus chapter 8. I really think we're going to see some special things today as we take a look at this chapter. What we're going to see in Leviticus 8 is how Aaron and his family, and indeed the Levites, would be ordained and consecrated and set apart in order to serve at the tabernacle. Aaron and his sons in the tribe of Levi was put in charge or responsibility of ministering at the tabernacle and taking the sacrifices that were given to them from the people and offering them to God. And all the ministry of the tabernacle was done by this tribe. And they needed to be right by God in order to be in that kind of proximity to God's presence. They had to dress right, have things be anointed, their clothing. They had to make sacrifices for their sins so that they would be atoned for, so that they could be in the presence of God. And we're going to see very detailed instructions about how they would be anointed, consecrated, set apart to serve God, because God's a holy God. In order to come into his presence, you've got to be right to be in his presence. So stick with me, on all of these lessons, but indeed today, stick with me. Before we begin, I want to take us back. Now, Leviticus was given, this instruction was given around the time of Mount Sinai when Moses went up on the mountain and God gave Moses the law. After, you know, he came back down off that mountain, they eventually set up the tabernacle, and then Moses had these instructions for them to follow in order to follow the sacrificial system. But prior to that, God gave us his ideal. And in Exodus 19, which is right at the time that, you know, the Moses is going into Mount Sinai, and Exodus 20 begins the instructions of what, of, you know, the Ten Commandments and the things God spoke to him. But prior to that, it says this in Exodus 19, verse 3, Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel." Now this would be everybody, all 12 tribes, not just Levites. "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine." You're going to be my special family. I'm going to lead, you know, I've led you out of Egypt and you're mine. You're my special people. In verse 6, it says, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel." So God's desire is that the nation would see themselves as a holy nation, his possession, treasured among the peoples, and indeed that they would be a kingdom of priests, that, you know, God's people would be his ministers. Now, after this happened and Moses went away on the mountain for a while, you may recall one of the grandest, if you want to call it grand, one of the saddest days in, you know, this period in the desert is when Moses was away for a while and they said, "Hey, we want to worship something. And, you know, Moses has been gone for a while up on the mountain. We don't know if he's going to come back. Let's make a golden calf and worship it." So they, Aaron, you know, believe it or not, this guy that has been set apart, as we'll see in Leviticus 8, he went along with it and participated in it and helped lead worshiping the golden calf. And Moses is up on the mountain with God, and God's like, "Moses, get down there. Your people are doing something corrupt." And God was very upset that just because Moses was away for a little while that they would worship a golden calf. And when he got down, Moses, from the mountain to the people, he's like, "What have you done?" He's like, "Who's on the Lord's side? Because what you're doing here is wrong." And the Levites came to, the tribe of Levi came to Moses and said, "We're on the Lord's side. We want to do what's right." And in that day, they had been set apart for service at, for the tabernacle that was going to be built. That tribe became God's special tribe because it was as though, in a sense, he couldn't trust the whole nation to be his kingdom of priests because they were so corrupt. And since the Levites came to his side, he ordained or set them apart for serving at his tabernacle. So the original ideal was kind of broken, or it didn't see its fulfillment at that time because of the disobedience of God's people. Remember, it said in Exodus 19, if you obey my voice, you shall be to me. They didn't, and now the Levites are serving as priests, and Aaron from that tribe. So now we get to Leviticus 8, and because of the sin of the people, in order for them to serve, as I've said, they need to be anointed or set apart. Cleansed, dressed right, anointed, all of this in order to serve on behalf of God and the people, to be kind of God's representative middleman between him and the people. So that's what we see. And instead of reading everything in Leviticus 8, I want to try to highlight some things. In verse 2, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bowl of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the doorway of the tent of meeting. So Moses did just as the Lord commanded, and when the congregation was assembled at the door of the tent of meeting, Moses said to the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded to do. Verse 6, then Moses and Aaron and his sons came near, and they washed them with water. Let's remember that. He washed them with water. He put on a tunic, and he girded them with the sash and clothed them with the robe. They had special clothes after they were washed. And they put on the ephod, and they girded him, and they placed the breast piece on him that had Urim and Thummim in it. We talked about that in the past. They placed something on his head, a turban on his head. And so now they get all dressed. They get washed. Then they took the anointing oil and they consecrated them and anoint them. And then they went through about, next, Moses and Aaron, verse 13, sons came near and clothed them with the tunics and girded them with the sashes and the caps. Then they brought the bull for the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull. So now that they're dressed right, now that they've been washed and anointed with oil, now they're going to do a sacrifice in order to be ordained as priests. They're going to sprinkle blood, you know, as they would do. They're going to do a burnt offering on behalf of the priest. This is all in order to get these priests to serve. Then they're going to, in verse 22, they're going to present a second ram, the ram of ordination. So there was going to be more than one sacrifice in order to set these priests apart. Then they took some of the blood in verse 23 and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand. All these procedures and things that they're going to do in order to get these people to serve. Verse 28, then Moses took them from their hands and offered them up on smoke on the altar with a burnt offering, and they were an ordination offering, a soothing aroma. It was an offering by fire to the Lord. Then they did a wave offering. Just the immense amount of procedure here in order to ordain these priests. Listen to verse 30. So Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood which is on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and on his garments, on his sons, on the garments of his sons with him. And he consecrated Aaron, his garments, and his sons, and the garments of his sons with him. I mean, just incredibly, you know, to come into the presence of God, you've got to be made right. And let's close with the end of the chapter. For 7 days, they were to camp right outside the gate of the tent. And the Lord, verse 34, is commanded to do as has been done this day, to make atonement on your behalf. At the doorway of the tent of meeting, moreover, you shall remain day and night for 7 days and keep the charge of the Lord so that you will not die. For so I have been commanded. Thus Aaron and his sons did all the things which the Lord had commanded through Moses. Quite an extensive procedure in order for God's people to be made right, consecrated, set apart as holy in order to serve as God's priests. But remember, God's original ideal was that the whole nation would serve. Now, I want to take you to 1 Peter chapter 2. So if you go in your Bibles, or, you know, I will go there and I will read it. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, Peter You know, this is now, of course, in the new covenant. You know, we don't live in the old covenant anymore. We live in a new covenant, a new agreement with God, and things are different today. You know, we don't bring those sacrifices, and, you know, the whole priesthood has changed, and that's really what I want to talk on and celebrate today. But if we look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and Peter writing to the church, people of the church, in this letter, he says, and coming to him, verse 4, as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. And Jesus is being kind of like pictured as a building today. You know, back then they had a tabernacle, and then ultimately that tabernacle turned into a temple, and that's where the priests served, and that's where the sacrifices were brought. But now we're coming to a living stone, not a building, but a living stone, which has been rejected by men. Who does that sound like? Jesus, right? He was rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. Jesus is choice and precious in the sight of God. And then it says this, verse 5, you also, now this is to the church, as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now that is quite a statement, and we're not done. But we now are like living stones, those of us who have been made alive in Jesus Christ and have believed in him. We are building a new temple, but it's not a building. It's a spiritual one, and it's actually the Holy Spirit is now in us, just as the Holy Spirit made itself known in the tabernacle, and the priests, through a series of ordination and consecration, could be in the presence of God. Now today, it's the presence of God is not in a tabernacle or in a temple, but it's in the church. You also, the church, as living stones. It's like you are being part of this new spiritual house that God's building, not a building, but people who believe in him, are being built up as a spiritual house. And for a holy priesthood. And what do? When we are part of now, and that's what I'm trying to teach today, is that we're part of a holy priesthood. Remember how God said in the beginning in Exodus 19, I want to have a kingdom of priests. You'll be my chosen people. You'll be my special nation. You will be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now God has brought that to fulfillment through the church. And it's not through the Old Testament sacrificial system anymore, because Jesus Christ has been the once and final sacrifice. And in doing so, he's restored the priesthood to all who believe instead of just the tribe of Levi. And now what do? We build a spiritual house, not a tabernacle, not a temple, but a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Let's keep going. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone. Now, at one day, you know, Solomon laid a choice stone and built a temple in Zion in Jerusalem. But now Jesus is that choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. That's us, by the way. We who believe in Jesus will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, who is for you who believe. See, this is for you. Like, this is what I'm reading today. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this is for you. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, Jesus, this became the very cornerstone, and therefore Jesus became a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. If you have not believed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's basically a stone people are stumbling over, and people are offended by him because they don't like hearing that Jesus is the only way. But he is the only way, because he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And in order to be made right, there needs to be a sacrifice. And God paid what was needed through Jesus Christ in order to make us right. And now through that once and final sacrifice, we're all who believe made to be a kingdom of priests. Now listen, they stumble. Why do people stumble? Because they are disobedient to the word. That's verse 8. And to this doom they were also appointed. Listen, God's holy word is so good. We're bringing together this morning thousands of years of biblical history to see how beautiful, rich, right, true God's word is, and how he ties Old and New Testaments together to say something beautiful. But if someone's heart is hardened, they're not willing to receive it, it'll become a rock of offense, and they will stumble over God's word and just not see it. But if you're just willing to see and to seek what God wants to teach you, he's got something incredible to teach. Now listen to what it says next in 1 Peter. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. That's how God sees us. A holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Do you see what's being quoted here? What Peter's quoting is Exodus 19:6 that we started in this morning about being a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, has now come true for the church who have believed in Jesus. And listen to what it says. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. For once you were not a people, because before it was Israel that was God's people. And it was the priests who had the Levitical priesthood who had special proximity to God once they had the proper ordination and consecration of the sacrificial system. But now, so we wouldn't have been those people, the church, those of us who are Gentiles, not a Jewish nation, we would not have been part of this special family. But now through Jesus, he's called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. For what you were once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We've received God's mercy through the cross, God's forgiveness, God's grace. He's forgiven us. And, you know, there's so many things we could point to. I mean, going back to Moses, do you remember some of the things that Aaron they had to do to be consecrated? They had to be washed. Do you know how we're washed today? We're washed through the baptismal waters of baptism. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, it's like we've been washed for the priesthood. And just as Aaron and the Levites had special clothes and had to be anointed to serve as priests and had to have a sacrifice, today we too needed a sacrifice to be anointed to serve God as priests. But that sacrifice is Jesus. And now we've been clothed, but it's not with special priestly Old Testament robes. We've been clothed with the righteousness, the right standing of Jesus Christ. And it's like we've been given the wedding garments for a future banquet that we're going to celebrate with Jesus and his eternal kingdom, because now we're the people of God. It says in the Bible that we've been clothed with righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All these things are like circling back to pick up these teachings of the Old Testament to show that we are God's priesthood. Hallelujah. But not to bring sacrifices anymore. It's a kingdom of priests, all of us, to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into marvelous light. You know, those of you who have been going through the journey with us, there's so much we can do, and we're not going to do it all in one morning. But do you remember when Jesus died on the cross? There was, at that place, the temple had taken the place of the tabernacle in Jerusalem. And there was a, you know, in the temple, there's a holy place and a most holy place. And between the two was a big, thick, tall veil. And when Jesus died on the cross, that veil torn too. The veil torn too. What separated them, only the high priest could go in the most holy place, and only on one day a year. And that's where God's special presence was. And that veil was torn when Jesus Christ died on the cross. Because now we've been given access to God. All who believe in him, it's like we've been ushered into the presence of God because his Holy Spirit now lives in us. That's why we don't have a temple or a tabernacle anymore. We are the tabernacle of the living God. God has now chosen to live in people who believe, his church. It is incredible. And this is also one day, because of the fact that Jesus lives inside of us, while we're one day going to be able to live with him in heaven, because he has made us right. Hallelujah. What a beautiful picture. All that, you know, I was just talking to my mom briefly this morning, and you know, there's so much instruction, right, in Leviticus, and so much that they had to do at the tabernacle and the sacrificial system and to serve as priests. Aren't you glad to be a New Testament Christian, that now everything that needed to be done has been done for us through Jesus Christ? And what we need to do is believe in him, and he ushers us into his presence. He clothes us with righteousness. He forgives our sins. He washes us in the water of baptism. He makes us clean. And what a privilege and what a blessing we have to be New Testament Christians today, to be the church, to be his beloved, to be his bride. Hallelujah. I hope that this teaching encouraged you today. All glory to God.